The following programming is sponsored by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Positively Pro-Life, a podcast brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. Positively Pro-Life aims to bring you inspirational stories, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm Bonnie Finnerty, Education Director at the Federation, and I am joined by my esteemed colleague, Maria Gallagher, the Legislative Director. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Bonnie. It's so good to be with you today.
Good to be with you, even on this snow day. It's even better. It's even better. And we have a wonderful guest lined up for today's podcast. He's a mover and shaker in the pro-life movement. His name is Will McFadden, and he's going to tell us all about a huge project he's been involved in, the Pro-Life Flag Project. This is a flag we're beginning to see everywhere, and Will is going to fill us in on the story behind it. In addition, Maria will provide us with information about the upsurge in chemical abortions in Pennsylvania, as well as the good news that chemical abortions can sometimes be reversed. And I will share an inspirational story from a birth mother. Before we get to that, however, I do have a short plug for one of our student contests that we hold every year. Our pro-life essay contest for Pennsylvania students in grades 7 through 12 is an excellent way for young people to learn more about life issues and to be a voice for life. The top three winners in each category are awarded cash prizes, and first place winners in each category are published in our summer edition of Lifelines. Reading those essays are one of my favorite parts of my job because it reaffirms that this generation of young people, well, that is the pro-life generation, and they are our leaders of tomorrow. So if you know a student in grades 7 through 12 in any school in Pennsylvania, please tell him or her to check out our website for more information and to get writing. I'll place a link in our show notes to make it easy to find, or you can find the information at paprolife.org. The deadline for our essay contest is March 1st. And now, onto this week's inspiration. Adoption is one of those topics that is just not discussed enough, in my opinion. For too many years, adoption was cloaked in secrecy and shame. But thankfully today, with more open adoptions and more support for birth mothers, we are hearing and seeing more stories that illustrate that adoption, while not easy by any means, is a loving, beautiful, life-affirming option. I recently came across an article from a birth mother, a very honest article, but so eloquent. And I want to share it with our listeners. It appeared on Live Action's website on New Year's Day as a guest column. It's written by Elisa Fucci. And rather than trying to sum up what she says, I want to share her exact words with all of you because they are written from her heart and so well said. The title of the article is, "I placed my son for adoption 20 years ago. Words can't describe what I felt when we met. At the age of 15, I became pregnant and chose life and adoption to give my son the life I never had and the family he deserved. Even before I was pregnant, I knew that adoption was an act of love and found it fascinating how someone could become a parent because of the selfless act of someone else. After finding out I was pregnant and realizing I could not parent my child in my situation, even if I wanted to, I decided to make the most out of the situation. Now, my religion looked down on pregnancy out of wedlock, and I knew what I had to do, even in the midst of despair. But I knew I could never offer my son what was rightfully his, a life full of opportunities, a home where both mom and dad wanted him. Just like in life, there is opposite to everything. We must experience both pain and joy to know what is real happiness. The day of the adoption came. I found myself holding my baby, filled with confusion, indecision, and doubting myself, about to sign all my rights away to someone I hardly knew, but who wanted a son so desperately. I had to step back and pray because I could not physically sign the papers in the state of confusion and despair I was in. I gave my baby to my sister, and walked to another room. Praying was hard. The voices in my head were so loud I could not get a sentence out, but I persisted, and finally there was peace in my soul. I knew right then and there this was going to change lives, not only mine, but the adoptive parents, and most importantly, my son's life. I went ahead and signed the papers without hesitation. I kissed my baby boy one last time and walked to the adoptive mother and father, anxiously awaiting their son. And as I passed my baby to her, I could see and feel the joy in her as tears ran down her cheeks and she trembled ecstatically. Then, just then, she said, "He's just like in my dreams." The evident contrast of pain and joy was in that room, the pain of loss from one mother and the joy of another. I'm going to skip ahead. And just mention that 21 years later, she was able to reunite with her son. She did reach out to him and he was receptive to meeting her. And this is how she ends her article. "Time had passed by, but my love for him had never diminished. She was able to talk to him for hours and she felt whole again. He thanked me for the life I gave him and for the sacrifice I made so he could be the man he is today. Words cannot describe the joy I felt being around him and reconnecting with him. There is love and only love when you choose life and adoption. There's the opportunity for lifelong bonds and relationships. Ends are not bad things. They just mean that something else is about to begin. And mine has just begun." Maria.
Bonnie, thank you so much for that inspirational story. Adoption truly is a loving option. Now we'd like to turn to a development in Pennsylvania. A quiet revolution has taken place in the abortion industry here. Chemical abortions now outnumber surgical abortions in the Keystone State, according to statistics recently released by the PA Department of Health. The stats show that of the 32,123 abortions that occurred in the Commonwealth, 16,349 were non-surgical. The figures do not come as a surprise. Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion operation, has been aggressively marketing chemical abortions to vulnerable women. Planned Parenthood Keystone has a goal of expanding abortions in PA. So much for the old pro-abortion rhetoric that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. Thankfully, however, there is an opportunity for women to change their minds after taking the first abortion pill. Pregnant women can visit lifeatrisk.org, that's lifeatrisk.org, and find a provider who can save her child's life using the abortion pill reversal protocol. Women can also call a hotline number at 1-877-558-0333. For assistance in reversing the tragic effects of the abortion pill. Now, according to abortionpillreversal.com, the abortion pill is the common name for a chemical process that combines two medications. After taking the first pill, some women regret their choice and want to reverse it. That's where abortion pill reversal comes in. Using the natural hormone progesterone, medical professionals have been able to save 64 to 68% of pregnancies through abortion pill reversal. As evidence, you can read numerous testimonials from women who have successfully had their chemical abortions reversed. Consider Sarah's story. She says, "My little superhero was born happy and healthy on 6/15/20, weighing 6.1 pounds and 18 inches long. Every day, I think how glad I am that I found the abortion pill reversal hotline and thank God for the chance to be his mama." The upsurge in chemical abortions in Pennsylvania and elsewhere makes stories such as Sarah's all the more relevant. The fact is, women do change their minds after abortion. Thanks to modern medical breakthroughs, their babies can not only survive, but thrive through abortion pill reversal. Bonnie.
Maria, thank you so much for that important information. It's my pleasure to introduce our guest at this time. Will McFadden grew up in Tennessee and currently lives and works in South Carolina. He's been pro-life for many years, but became particularly interested in the topic during college when he began exploring pro-life apologetics and arguments for each side of the abortion debate. At the 2017 March for Life in Washington, D.C., Will made an observation about the pro-life movement that led to an inspiration, the development of a pro-life flag, which came to fruition just this past year. Will McFadden joins us today to share the fascinating journey of how his inspiration became a reality and what he hopes the pro-life flag will do for the pro-life movement. Will, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Bonnie.
Will, this is a question that we were asking in the office. How did the idea of a pro-life flag come about?
Yeah, so like Bonnie mentioned, it really probably started back at the March for Life in 2017. That was the first time I'd been to the march, and I remember specifically thinking how cool it was to see all these groups from all over the country and really all over the world gathered in one place, despite being from different backgrounds, different religions, different walks of life. We were all here gathered together to, you know, oppose abortion. And I remember seeing all the different colors and different flags, different banners of these different groups. But I do remember specifically being struck that we didn't have a unifying symbol or a unifying flag that we could all rally behind that represented the end goal of everyone there. So that probably started the seed of the pro-life flag. But then over the next year or two, I remember seeing, you know, the rainbow flag around all over the place. And regardless of your, you know, your thoughts or opinions on the LGBTQ movement, I think we can all agree that the rainbow flag has had a significant impact on that movement, particularly with branding and unification and raising awareness. And so I was thinking, you know, the pro-life movement needs its own rainbow flag. We need something that we can rally behind and can unify us. And so in 2019 is when I finally started to put that idea into action and started a pro-life flag project with the hope of creating a unifying symbol for the pro-life movement that we could all rally behind.
Will, can you describe for our listeners what the pro-life flag looks like and what the symbol on it means?
Yeah, definitely. So if you haven't seen the pro-life flag yet, you can see it at our site, prolifeflag.com, or you can just Google pro-life flag and it should pop up. But essentially the pro-life flag is, it's got a white background, and the white symbolizes the nonviolence that we hope to see in the womb, you know, opposing abortion, as well as the innocence of the unborn child. On the white background, there are two baby feet that represent the humanity of the unborn child. Baby feet have been a symbol associated with the pro-life movement since the iconic Precious Feet lapel pins were named the International Pro-Life Symbol in 1979. And so I feel like a lot of people associate those baby footprints with the pro-life movement. On our flag, one foot is pink and one foot is blue. Around the feet are two pink hands forming a circle around the feet, and that represents the pregnant mother holding and protecting her child. The circle shape formed by the hands is also, it evokes imagery of pregnant mother's growing belly, a safe, secure, protected place for her developing child. There's also a kind of subtle white heart in between the two feet that symbolizes the pro-life movement's love for both the unborn child and her mother. And then in the background, behind the feet and hands are two stripes, a pink stripe and a blue stripe. And those two stripes specifically represent the two distinct lives present in a pregnancy, so the mother and the child. And that was an overarching theme of the flag that we wanted to stress the two lives present in a pregnancy, the mother and the child. And the stripes also form, some people have said it looks like an equal sign. So that stresses the unborn child is equally human and fully human and therefore deserving of equal human rights. And then finally, the pink and the blue stripe can also symbolize the role of the father and the mother in the creation and raising of a child. And then the colors, pink and blue, can mean different things to different people, but you know, traditionally they've been colors associated with representing baby boys and baby girls, but again, could also just symbolize the two distinct lives in a pregnancy. So that's kind of the symbolism behind the child.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That pro-life flag is so remarkable in its symbolism. And it took a great deal of time and effort to get to that point where you actually had that beautiful design. Can you tell me what process did you use to come up with the flag's design?
Yeah, absolutely. So getting into the project itself, you know, we're called Pro-Life Flag Project because it was a whole endeavor to end up with this flag. And so the project we broke down into three distinct phases. The first one we called the preparation phase. And so that was really about a year and a half of once we decided to start on this journey, just gathering partners. So we didn't want to just create a pro-life flag ourselves and then kind of throw it on the movement. We thought that the pro-life flag should be created by and voted on by the pro-life movement, pro-lifers like you and me. And so for the first year and a half, we were just trying to gather organizational partners. So we reached out to start out with small groups, you know, local level right to life groups, Facebook groups, just any kind of personal small pro-life groups that we could talk to and say, hey, we're trying to post this public design contest to create a pro-life flag. Do you think this is an idea you'd want to be a part of? And so we started with those groups, worked up to a little bit larger groups, kind of state level right to life groups, and then eventually reached out to the big national and international pro-life organizations and ended up getting groups like March for Life, Students for Life, Save the Storks, and Focus on the Family were several of our big partners that wanted to be a part of this project, as well as several international groups. We had groups from Honduras and Australia and Ireland. So it became an international project as well. So that was the preparation phase, just getting these partners on board. And then we shifted into the design phase. So the design phase, like I mentioned, we hosted a public design contest. So this was open to all pro-lifers around the world. They could submit their ideas for what they thought the pro-life flag should look like. So we got thousands of entries from pro-lifers all over the world. We sifted through those with the help of our partner organizations, such as PA Pro-Life Federation. And through that, we narrowed down the designs to six finalists that we thought were diverse enough, but also representative of the pro-life movement that we could submit to the pro-life movement for voting. And so once we had the six finalists, we started the voting phase, the third phase. And so through an online poll, we had our partner organizations send out that poll to their followers so that the pro-life movement could vote on which flag they wanted to be the official flag of the pro-life movement. And the one that is the current pro-life flag is the one that won. It was created by Nadia Gasparini, who is a Brazilian pro-life designer.
Well, I have to tell you, we were always filled with excitement when we would see different entries come in and having the chance to vote for them in the office and sharing with one another on staff which ones we liked. There were so many good entries. It was just a brilliant idea to do it this way and to enlist so many organizations to have an investment in this process. It was just brilliant. So you touched on this a little bit already, but now that we have a flag, what do you see as the purpose and what do you hope it will accomplish?
Yeah, the purpose or the benefits, we've kind of broken down into four key purposes or benefits. The first one, like I mentioned a couple of times, is unification. So we think just it can provide a unifying symbol for this powerful pro-life movement that with a shared goal. So like I mentioned at the March for Life, there are all these different groups from different religions, different walks of life, different sides of the political spectrum, really. But we all have this shared goal. And so unifying us all under a common banner is probably the biggest goal of the project. Second one, though, would be to raise awareness. So again, going back to the idea of the rainbow flag, you know, again, regardless of your thoughts on it, we see the rainbow flag everywhere. It's on t-shirts, it's on flagpoles, it's on bumper stickers. And every time you see it, you think of the movement that's associated with it. And so that was a hope that this pro-life flag could turn into something like that, where this could become a very ubiquitous symbol that is seen all over the place in society and would remind people, pro-life, pro-choice, and indifferent, that the pro-life movement is out there, it exists, and we're fighting hard to end abortion. A third purpose would be to give everyday pro-lifers a means of supporting the larger movement. So, you know, maybe you're a pro-lifer at home and you don't have the time or resources to, you know, start your own pro-life group or something, but you could fly the pro-life flag outside your house. And that would be a way of supporting large movement saying, hey, I'm pro-life, I'm against abortion. And that will help with the raising awareness as well. And then the last thing we think is it can positively brand the movement for as loving and caring for both the preborn and their mothers. You know, as I'm sure both of you know, the pro-life movement can be often be smeared in the media as, you know, anti-woman or, you know, negative, when in reality we are pro-woman, pro-child, pro-life. And so we think that the two key elements in the flag, that is the mother's hands and the child's feet, will show that we are, you know, acknowledging and loving and caring for both lives that are present in a pregnancy situation.
That's absolutely beautiful. And I think you touch on something that a lot of people don't realize is the diversity in the pro-life movement. Mm-hmm. So many times people want to dismiss it as just being a certain group of people. But I know even on our podcast, you know, we've had the Jewish Pro-Life Federation, we've had secular pro-life. I know one of your partners is Democrats for Life. I mean, the pro-life movement spans across a lot of different demographics. And it's wonderful that we now have a symbol to unite all of us.
Yeah, that was something I definitely learned more of through the project, was seeing the diversity and width of the movement. Because like you said, we had secular pro-life, we had Democrats for Life, we had Rehumanize International, which is pretty, I guess, liberal in the political scheme of things. But yeah, it's been really cool to see that there's wide support for the pro-life movement.
Your website, which I just love, and I hope everybody checks out, I will link to that as well. It shows the flag being used at various events in different ways. Can you share a few that really stand out?
Yeah, definitely. I guess three that kind of go together. I call them the DC three. There's a flag in front of the Capitol, a flag flying in front of the Washington Monument, and then one in front of the Supreme Court. And so that, I think the DC imagery obviously is very important and symbolic because we do want to legislate against abortion. So that's obviously where that legislation would occur federally. And so I hope that the pro-life flag can become a staple in front of the Supreme Court and in DC area in general, to remind people that we're here fighting to outlaw abortion. So that would be one of them. I also really liked the Berlin March for Life. They had a big kind of unveiling of the pro-life flag recently after it had been announced. And so it was, you know, they raised up the pro-life flag behind their speaker. And so that was one that I thought was really cool. It again shows the international reach that the pro-life flag is starting to have. One that just came in recently as they were getting ready for the Arizona March for Life. The group over at Arizona Right to Life sent us a beautiful picture of the pro-life flag up on a mountain in Arizona in front of the sunrise. And it's just this really scenic, beautiful picture that they were doing as like a life week, or they're doing a hike for life up to the top of this mountain. And just beautiful picture showing the pro-life flag in front of the sunrise. And then the last one I'll mention, I think this is probably the most recent picture we've gotten, was from Malawi, Africa. There's a guy named Robert over there, a local, who basically runs a ministry, a pro-life ministry that educates people in his village about the sanctity of life and the pro-life movement. And we sent him several flags and stickers that he could use to help with his ministry. And he sent us back a picture of he and his fellow people in his ministry holding up the pro-life flag and stickers. And so I just thought that was pretty cool to see that pro-life flag has reached Africa and hopefully continues to, you know, again, just expand internationally and become this symbol that people around the world know is opposing abortion.
The international reach of the pro-life flag is truly remarkable. Well, I want to credit you for starting this wonderful project. And how can people purchase a flag or learn more about the pro-life flag project?
Yeah, the biggest way is through our site, so prolifeflag.com. Bonnie said she would link it as well, but on our site you can learn more about the flag symbolism, kind of the stuff I went through earlier, go through in much more detail the project itself and see our timeline of kind of how we went about going through those different phases that I mentioned and how the flag came about. You can see pictures of the flag being used on our site. So in DC, in Africa, all over the country and the world. And then also, like you mentioned, you can order flags on the site and other merchandise. We're starting to sell shirts with the Pro-Life flag on it and bumper stickers, iPhone cases, stuff like that. The one note I do want to make is that obviously we are selling stuff, but the Pro-Life flag design is totally reproducible, freely reproducible for the pro-life movement. So this isn't something we're trying to, you know, just make money off of. This is for the pro-life movement to use freely to help brand unify and raise awareness for the pro-life movement.
And I can see where this flag would also be very motivational. You know, we pledge allegiance to a flag, the American flag, and we can pledge allegiance to the cause of pro-life and to the cause of helping those pregnant women and their babies to find comfort in our world. And so I just wonder if sometimes you look at this project and you say, oh my goodness, how did this come about?
Yeah, I think it can be very motivational and symbolic. And it's been certainly been a journey. And I'm definitely glad where we are now. I hope it continues to grow. And again, the end goal is just to help it unify our diverse movement and help us with our end goal of abolishing abortion.
That's just wonderful. Bonnie, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I'm just thinking, I can't wait to see at the March for Life this Friday how many of these signs, it's always interesting to see the signs and the banners at the March for Life. They're always motivational and inspirational. But I think this year we're probably going to see a lot of this pro-life flag. I know I just ordered mine and I can't wait to get it and I can't wait to fly it. So, Will, thank you so much for all of your effort. I can imagine this has been quite an undertaking and I really appreciate all the work and the time that you put into it. It's going to last for a long, long time. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you to all of our partners, too. We couldn't have done it without all of our partner organizations. I appreciate it.
Will McFadden of the Pro-Life Flag Project, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State. Thank you for joining us. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.